Okay, good evening, everybody. Chodesh Tov, again Chodesh, again Erev Shabbos. Welcome to our special 4G NCSY shiur. Am I saying it right? At the Young Israel Vodmir. It's especially nice for me to be speaking here. First of all, I thank Sarah Sklar for inviting me to present this shiur. But I started my day teaching in the Young Israel Vodmir. I actually started my day on the treadmill, but I started my day teaching at the Young Israel of Woodmere, and I'm ending my day teaching at the Young Israel of Woodmere, and some of us were here for both of the shiurim, so it's particularly nice to bring things full circle. So let us learn. So I had to decide what to speak about this evening. It's a pre-Pesach shiur. That's a very wide, open-ended subject with a lot of choices. There's the Haggadah, there's the Hashkafa, there's Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's Shvi Shal Pesach and Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a lot to talk about. Given that today was Rosh Chodesh, and we are now on Or L'Yom Beis Nisan, so today was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and this past Shabbos, we read what is known as Parshas HaChodesh, the fourth. I like to be here, actually, when I teach in this room. Do you mind if I move back a little? Is this okay? Okay. You okay if I'm up here? Okay, given that we just learned Parshas HaChodesh, which is the fourth of the special Parshios that really prepare us for this season of Geula, we have two before Purim, we have Parshas Shkalim and Parshas Zachar, and two before Pesach, Parshas from Yotes, Bamidbar, Parshas Para, and Parshas HaChodesh. We just read Parshas HaChodesh. It is from Parshas Bo, which deals with Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. And today was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what I'm going to do is base our shiur on Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shemos. Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shemos is from part of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In Parshas Bo, we have the last three Makos, okay, of the 10 Makos, which again, we recite on Leil HaSeder, take a little bit of wine out of the cup. We have the last three Makos in Parshas Bo. We have actually Yitzias Mitzrayim occurs in Parshas Bo, and in Parshas Bo, in Perek Yud Beis, which we read in Parshas HaChodesh, we deal with Rosh Chodesh, specifically Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Korban Pesach. Now today, because of our sins, we have been exiled from our land. We do not have a Beis HaMikdash, we do not have the Korban Pesach, we have a little shank bone, a zroa on the Seder plate to remind us of what should be, but in temple times, all of the people would be Ola L'Rega, and they would bring the Korban Pesach up, and this was really the celebration of Leil HaSeder. What would they do on Leil HaSeder? They would sit down and they would eat the Korban Pesach. So I'm going to begin by quoting the psukim from Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Bo, Parshas HaChodesh, which tells us both about the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh, as well as Korban Pesach. And we are going to learn some beautiful insights regarding the structure of Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael revolving around these two mitzvahs, Kiddush HaChodesh and Korban Pesach. So how does it begin? We just read it this past Shabbos. If you were in Beis Knesset, this past Shabbos from the second Sefer Torah, they read from Perek Yud Beis, Psukim Aleph through Chaf. Vayom Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'imor. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. They are still in the land of Egypt. It is before the actual redemption has unfolded. What is the first national mitzvah? You know, if you go and you ask somebody, what is the first thing that God commanded Am Yisrael? You would think maybe Shabbos is the first thing Hashem commanded Am Yisrael. Fasting on Yom Kippur, keeping kosher. These are like really heavy duty weighty mitzvahs. I don't think if you took a poll of people who were unlearned and asked them, what is the first mitzvah that God commanded the Bnei Yisrael? I don't think most people would guess that the first mitzvah Hashem commanded the Bnei Yisrael is. It's not like so high on our list of priority. I mean, it's nice. It's the first of the month. But the first mitzvah, you know, like coming with a bang. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Shesitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. Perek Chaf Pasuk Beis. I am the Lord God who took you out of the land of Egypt from the land of slavery. That's really important. You should know that there is a Ribbono Shel who took you out. You should know that there is a creator. You should know that every 7 days you keep Sabbath. You should know you have to fast on Yom Kippur. Blow shofar, not ichametz. Kiddush HaChodesh. What's the first thing that God commanded the Bnei Yisrael? HaChodesh HaZalachem. This month, and it was today. And Rashi says, when God says to Moshe, HaChodesh HaZalachem, which Chodesh does he talk about? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was mamish today. Achodesh Azalachem, this month is to you, Rosh Chodashim, the first of the months. Rishon Hulachem, the Chodesh Hashanah, it is the first to you of the months of the year. So we count time when we talk about the new year, when we go from Tavshim Pei Beis to Tavshim Pei Gimel, and Bezer Hashem to Tavshim Pei Dal, 5782 to 5783 to 5784. Bezer Hashem, we start by Tishrei. But the Torah counts the months according to the first month being Nisan. Nisan is the first of the months, and Rashi Taka says that. Rashi says when Hashem came to Moshe, what month was it? It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Remember, they left 2 weeks later. We have Rosh Chodesh, and then 2 weeks later we celebrate Chag HaPesach. It was the same thing. We're modeling what they did. They had Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first of the months. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand. I'm just going to... Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to do, and Rashi tells us that. So what did Hashem do? Harei levona bechidusha. Hashem showed Moshe the moon in its renewal. On actual Rosh Chodesh, when you go, you can't really see the moon, right? Where you can't see it, and then it's a sliver. Moshe did not understand. They never had this mitzvah before. Moshe did not understand what to do. Harei levona bechidusha. God showed him the moon in renewal. Va'amar lo, and Hashem told him, kishahayareach mischadesh, when the moon renews, yolachar Rosh Chodesh. It will be for you Rosh Chodesh. So that is what you have to know. And Moshe did not know what exactly, how to declare Rosh Chodesh, and Hashem had to show him how to make Rosh Chodesh. Rashi actually says that, Niskasha Moshe Amolat HaLevona. It was difficult for Moshe. He didn't know what to do. Be'ezah Shir, Tira, how exactly should the moon look when you say it's a new month? V'tiyaru l'kedusha, and then it'll be worthy to sanctify the month. So, Harelo Be'etzba. Hashem had to show him with a finger the moon in the firmament of the heaven, and he said to him, when you see this, it's Rosh Chodesh. I heard many years ago, such a beautiful verse. My daughter told it to me, or I read it. I believe it's from the name of Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro from North Miami Beach, Florida. Sometimes we encounter difficulties in life. I know in this room there are a variety of ages and stages. High school, moms, grandmothers, there are a variety of ages and stages. And whatever age and stage we are in life, we encounter difficulties in life. Rashi actually says, Niskasha Moshe, Amolat HaLevona. It was hard for Moshe. He had a kasha, a question. He didn't understand how to make a Rosh Chodesh. He didn't know exactly what the moon should look like. Hashem had to show him. There were three things in Sefer Shemos that were difficult for Moshe. That Moshe did not know how to conduct, how to do, how to declare. One was the menorah by Melachas HaMishkan, which begins in Parshas Truma. Moshe did not know exactly how to fashion the menorah. It needed to be fashioned from one solid block, and it couldn't be put together from different pieces, and it all had to be carved from one solid unit. He didn't know what to do. And Hashem had to show him. Menorah, Kiddush HaChodesh, and also Parshas Shkolim. Parshas Shkolim, Perek Lamed Aleph, Ki Tisha, which we read, Perek Lamed, which we read by Parshas Shkolim before Purim. Moshe didn't know exactly what the Machatzis HaShekel looks like, and Hashem had to show him. Why am I telling this to you? What's the insight? The three letters of Moshe's name are an acronym for the three things that were hard for him, that were a challenge, that were a difficulty. Mem is Menorah, Shin is Shekel, and He is HaChodesh. What does it teach you? So, first of all, it teaches you about the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh and the goddess of Torah. How divine it is. In the name Moshe is embedded an allusion, an acronym to the three things that were hard for him. But what does it come to teach you on a deeper level, on a level that we can all relate to? It is the challenges and the difficulties in life that define a person, that make up their essence, and from those they grow. Now, if you're going through a hard time, you don't like to hear that. Don't love me so much. Spare me. I can grow from the pleasant times in life. But the reality is that the things that challenge us, Niskasha Moshe, the things that are difficult for us, the things that we strive and struggle with, Menorah, Shekel, HaChodesh, are what made Moshe the great person that he was. That was his essence. And it's true for all of us. It is the difficulties, the strivings, the things in life that present challenges to us that ultimately we grow from. And that's something very beautiful that we learn from the Redeemer, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting, when you look at the life of Yaakov Avinu, when he was going through challenges, From the time we meet him and he's fighting with Esav, to the time that the brothers kidnap Yosef, to when he thought he was going to lose Binyamin, we know so much about the life of Yaakov Avinu. And the last 17 years that he lived in Egypt in tranquility. What do you know about the last 17 years when he lived in Egypt? Nothing. Nothing. He moved to Egypt and 17 years later he's about to die. What happened in 17 years? He had peace and quiet. What does the Torah illustrate about the peace and quiet? What does the Torah narrate about the peace and quiet? Nothing. Why? Because the Torah is not a storybook. The Torah only illustrates what you can learn from. So what happened? Nothing. He woke up. He went to the yeshiva that Yehuda established. It was very nice. His children were b'shalom. Everybody was reunited. Yosef supplied them with food. What do you learn from those times? Not very much. And so because it's not nevuah shehutzu chiladoros, it is not a prophecy that is needed for the generations. The Torah doesn't write about it. But the years of turbulence from the moment he was born until he's 140, well, until he's 130 and he goes down, there's so much. Because from the difficulties, the strivings, the hard times in life, a person grows. I always personally, I don't like, it's hard for me, no pun intended, Niskasha Moshe. I don't particularly like the saying, God gives challenges to people who can handle them. If you like it, fine. If it works for you, God. I don't like it so much. It doesn't sit so well with me. Even if it's true, it's hard to hear. But a number of years ago, I read, actually, in Family First of Mishpacha magazine. And the woman signed her name. She was from the Baltimore, Maryland area. And she lost her teenage child to suicide. She signed her name. And she says she has learned in life that God gives us challenges, and along the way we become people who can handle them. Not God gives challenges to people who can handle them, but rather God gives us challenges, and along the way we become people who can handle them. Niskasha Moshe. It was hard for Moshe. But what made up his essence? Mem menorah shin shekel heyachodash. Because the challenges teach us about ourselves, about others, about our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our challenges teach us about our inner strengths. The difficulties we have in life teach us about our latent, to quote, paraphrase Rabbi Zev Lev, talents, abilities, and capabilities you may not have known were dormant until you were called upon to use them. So that's the first lesson on Kiddush HaChodesh. Just like the moon renews from something very, very small to something very big and beautiful. And I know the moon is really the same size scientifically, and I know the moon doesn't have its own light, but we talk about the moon waxing and waning, even though really, yes, it's only one size in the Raki HaShemayim. It's one big block of rock, and it doesn't actually grow. We speak about it in terms of growth and diminishment, and that's really who we all are. We are people from diminishment who find great growth in life. From being made small, from feeling constricted, from feeling the difficulties, we have tremendous capacity to grow. That's one of the greatest gifts of the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim. And it's represented in the first mitzvah we were given. So the first mitzvah is not only to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh, but it's to understand we have the capacity within ourselves from that time of being constricted, Niskasha Moshe, to grow to very great heights that shine and light up the Raki HaShemayim. Another aspect of Kiddush HaChodesh. I'm going to take a drink. Thank you for the water. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehuyach B'dvaro. Amen. Another aspect of Kiddush HaChodesh. This is an aspect that I think speaks to everyone in this room of all ages, and well, so does the first one. Hopefully, the younger attendees here have not been so acquainted with Niskasha Moshe yet, like those of us who are older have been. But it's the nature of life. The next aspect of Kiddush HaChodesh that I want to talk about is something that for today's generation is more of a challenge than ever before. Like literally ever before. And that's the value of time. An appreciation for the gift of time. And maximizing time. And why do I say it's more of a challenge for today's generation than ever before? Really, it's more of a challenge for today's generation than ever before. Don't shoot the messenger, but it's because of devices. No, I'm being serious. And I have one, and I'm not giving it up, and I don't live in a cave, and I have an iPhone, and I use it all the time, and it's very important. But the downside is, it drains one of the greatest resources, Rav Pam Zatzal used to say, from Yeshiva Torah Vadas, on the Gadol, there is no loss like the loss of time. Time is life. And today the Yetzer Hara presents us with a tool for wasting more time than our grandmothers probably thought was ever possible, or my grandmothers probably thought was ever possible. And the first mitzvah that the Ribono Shel Olam gave Klal Yisrael, the first mitzvah, before Shabbos, before Yom Kippur, before Taras HaMishpacha, before Tefillin, before Tefillah, before Kashrus, the first thing God said is, free people, you have to know how to value, appreciate, mark, and own your time. A moment that we have now, like when I started this year, that's already the past. I mean, I'm going to end this year, it's the future. And the beginning of my sentence is here no longer. I want to quote from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, on three aspects of time as related to Kiddush HaChodesh. Mamish today, how, you know, it was hard. I really didn't know what to speak about. There's so many choices. So open-ended, pre-Pesach. There's a lot to talk about. But given that today is Rosh Chodesh, and we just read Parshas HaChodesh, it's very apropos. So Rav Soloveitchik says about time, this month shall be to you the head month, the head of the month of the year. The first commandment they were given in Egypt, which signaled the commencement of liberation, was to mark time. It signaled the beginning of liberation and the end of slavery. God had to choose, so to speak, one mitzvah, one statement to say you are free people. And why did he choose his freedom? Not to, I don't know, dress in regal garments, and not kulanu mesubim, and not to eat sushi bars and carving stations. The first thing Hashem said you need to know if you're going free is I give you the gift of time. A slave, says the Rav, is relieved of mitzvos aseh shazman grama. A slave is not bound by time-bound mitzvos. Why is he not bound by time-bound positive commandments? Why? Because he doesn't own time. How could you be bound by time-bound positive commandments if you don't own time? Who owns the slave's time? The master owns the slave's time. The master says when you're going to plow the field, and when you're going to harvest, and when you're going to till, and when you're going to make bricks, and when you're going to build the bricks. A slave lacks time experience. So if you want to know what symbolizes chayrus, the whole Leil HaSeder is the celebration. May avdus lechayrus, may yogan lesimcha, may afeila leora, may eva leyom tov, mishiva de geula. You want to know what marks redemption? You want to know what means you are a free person? And God spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt saying, this month is for you. To a slave, time is a curse. I remember reading a Holocaust memoir a number of years ago. And the author wrote, all we lived for was to live another day. There is no meaning in time to a slave. There cannot be, by definition, any meaning in time. To the slave, time is simply a curse. He simply waits for the day to pass because the slave's time is the property of his master. No matter how hard he may try to be productive in time, says the Rav, he will never reap the harvest of his work. And so the slave is insensitive to time. So in Egypt, an entire nation, how long we were in Egypt? 210 years. How long were we enslaved? 116 years. There's a number of different counts. Seder Olam says 86 years. Art schools count on the bottom of their Rashi elucidated according to their count based on the age of Levi, 116 years. We were enslaved for a long time. And over this time period of generations of enslavement, we lost our sensitivity to the gift of time. Not by any fault of our own, simply because It was not ours. We could not be creative in time. Today, many of us, many, including many adults, including myself at different times of the day, no pun intended, we are meshuvah to a different master. I was recently somewhere at a simcha, and I walked by a certain table, a certain person. I was in an intimate group. And a person who I do not know, so I could not tell you their name even if I would never, but I don't know them. So this is more than totally anonymous. I don't even know their name. But it was a small setting, and it was an adult, so I'm not only speaking to the children in the room, the students, I should say, in the room. We're playing, I think it was Candy Crush, I think. And it was really a small setting, a small table, a small environment. And I was thinking to myself, what did they do in the olden days? And when I say olden days, I mean when I was a student. I don't mean like in the 1800s. What did you do? You know what you did? You talked to somebody at the table. Today, we are meshubah to a different master. And I am not only speaking to the students. It's all of us. The slave sense of movement in time, the passing of hours, days, weeks, is very dull. Life to the slave personality is motionless. Life seems to be motionless because one day is like the previous day, is like the next day. It all flows into each other. It's all the same. Listen carefully to the next sentence of the Rav. The slave lacks great excitement of opportunities knocking at the door. There are wonderful opportunities that knock on the door, no matter your age, your stage. Where are you going to camp? Where are you going in the summer? Are you going to Israel? I know NCSY, so many trips, so many programs that go to Israel. There's a simcha coming up. We wait. There's graduation. There's seminary. We wait for great opportunities that knock on the door. That's only if you own time. The slave lacks this great excitement of opportunities that knock at the door. The slave lacks challenges that summon him to action. He can't take upon chesed activities. He can't give up his time to somebody else. He can't rise to the challenge and be summoned to action. He doesn't have tense expectation. He doesn't even have fear of failure. Their time is totally motionless to the slave personality. Any event which is inseparably bound up with time is inapplicable to the slave. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you're a free people and you're a free nation. And if you want to know what symbolizes freedom, the gift is the gift of time. And I really do think in today's society, I mean, I'm not going back so long ago because I am not 100. And I'm talking about a few decades ago. We did not have the challenges of the struggle with the Yetzer Hara and time like we have today. We simply did not have it. It didn't exist. You couldn't sit at a table with people at a simcha playing Candy Crush, totally ignoring the doll next to you because you just couldn't. And today we struggle more than ever with appreciating our time. This is brought down in the book, I have it at home, called Portraits of Prayer. Imagine there is a bank, Rabbi Eliezer Abish, Portraits of Prayer. Imagine there is a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. Every morning you get $86,400. I bet we would all like that very much. It doesn't carry over balance from day to day. It allows you to keep no cash balance. And every evening it cancels whatever amount you fail to use during the day. What would you do? You would make sure to use and withdraw every last cent. While everyone has such a bank, it is a metaphysical, beyond physical bank. It is called a time bank. And every morning we are credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night, whatever part of time we fail to invest to good purpose is written off as lost forever. Our time bank does not carry over any balance. It allows no overdraft. Every day you open a new account. But if you fail to use that day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no borrowing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. The clock is running. Make the most of today. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a Sabbath observer. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask a person who studies Daf Yomi. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who just missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who just avoided an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who won the silver medal. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're about to go free. And there are a lot of mitzvos that are coming. We're going to Matan Torah. There are 613 bichtav and thousands ba'al peh and derabanan. But none of it is relevant if you do not own and appreciate time. And note, Kiddush HaChodesh today was Rosh Chodesh. It was Nisan. Chodesh is the word chadash. Something I stress very often in my learning and in my teachings is Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh are connected. If two words in Lashon HaKodesh share the same shorash, the same root, there has to be a connection, even if you don't know what the connection is. So Chodesh is the mitzvah that was given to us, and it's also the word that is Chadash. And Chadash means new. Because every month, every day, you have an opportunity for renewal. And every day, every month, you have a new chance. And Hashem gives you back your life. And he says, even if you didn't grab the momentum last month, you didn't make the most of it. You played Candy Crush at the table and there was someone else in front of you. But now you have a new opportunity to make up for lost time. Moshe Feinstein Zatzal used to say, it was just his Yurtzeit, Yud Gimel Adar. In America, there's an expression, I've got plenty of time. I wish they could donate some to me, Rav Moshe used to say, since I never seem to have enough. A story is told, this is brought down in the biography of Rav Yosef Tendler, the manal of the Mechina in Erishol, Baltimore, who happened to be, my husband was very close to him, he was our Masada Kedushin. So there's an article biography on Rav Yosef Tendler, and this story is brought down there. There was once a businessman who was sitting by the beach in a small Brazilian village. As he sat, he saw a Brazilian fisherman rowing a small boat towards the shore, and he caught quite a few big fish. The businessman was very impressed, and he asked the fisherman, "How long does it take you to catch so many fish?" The fisherman replied, "Oh, just a short while." The businessman was astonished. "Why don't you stay at sea longer and catch even more fish?" "This is enough to feed my family," said the fisherman. The businessman said, "What do you do the rest of the day?" The fisherman said, "Well, I wake up early in the morning, I go out to sea, I catch some fish, then I go back, I play with my children, in the afternoon I take a nap. What could be better? When evening comes, I join my buddies in the village." The businessman offered a suggestion to the fisherman. "I have a PhD in business management. I will help you become a more successful person. From now on, you should spend more time at sea. You should try to catch as many fish as possible. When you have saved enough money, you could buy a bigger boat. You will catch even more fish. Soon you will be able to afford even more boats. You will have your own company, your own production plant, canned fish food, distribution network. By then you will have moved out of this village to Sao Paulo," I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Sao Paulo, sounds good, we don't know. "Where you can set up headquarters and manage your branches." The fisherman listened to this grand business plan and he said, "And after that?" The businessman laughed heartily and he said, "After that, you will live like a king in your own house. And when the time is right, you will go public. You will flow your shares on the stock exchange. You will be rich." The fisherman said, "And after that?" "After that," said the businessman, "after that, you will retire and enjoy your time. You will move to a house by a fishing village. You'll wake up in the morning. You'll catch a few fish. You will return home. You'll play with your grandchildren. You'll have a nice afternoon nap. And when the evening comes, you will join your buddies for a drink. You'll play guitar. You'll sing and dance throughout the night. The fisherman looked at the businessman who had a PhD, and he said, "Is that not what I am already doing now?" Sometimes we're so busy chasing ideals and ideas, and not ideals and not even ideas that are even not even worth our time. We're so busy chasing after these things that sometimes we don't even stop in the moment to appreciate where we are and what we're doing. I feel comfortable saying this because I don't think anyone's doing it right now. Otherwise, I would not actually say it. I can't tell you how many times I speak or give a shiur. I'm not talking about people who are taking notes on their phone. I'm not talking about a person who has an emergency at home with their kids. I know there are yotzei minhakal. I'm not talking about the doctor whose patient just went into labor. But you should know that many of us grew up in a time when we did not have this. And you just embraced the time in which you were. And sometimes maybe the speaker was boring, but you just paid attention because there was nothing else to do. You just enjoyed the moment, the time, the experience. You were present. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It doesn't just say HaChodesh Hazeh Rishon Hu L'Chodesh HaShana. Every word in the Torah is meaningful. Lachem. I'm giving you a gift. It's the gift of time. And every moment that we use productively is a moment gained. It's a moment of eternity. And every moment that's squandered is a moment that never comes back. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, that life is like a postcard. You start to write, and you think you have all the space in the world. So you write big, and you leave lots of space between the words and the letters. After all, there's a whole postcard to fill. And then you start to get closer to the end, and you realize there's not as much room as you thought. So you start to squeeze in your words, your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, your longings, in a mad dash to get it in before the finish line. Sometimes you don't have enough room for your most important sentiments. Sometimes you don't even have enough room to sign your name. And you start to get to my age. Maybe the people in this part of the room could relate. Don't you feel like it was just Purim? And it was just Hanukkah? No, I'm not joking. And it was just Sukkot? And it was just the Yomim Noraim? And it was just last Pesach? No, that's how I really feel. How could it possibly be Beis Nisan? My mother, she should live and be well, says, the older you get, the faster time goes. The greatest gift we have, the most important first, I shouldn't say the most important mitzvah, but what the Ribbono Shel Olam chose to introduce first is time. And it's one of the crucial and fundamental lessons of Geulas Mitzrayim. Rav Soloveitchik says that time awareness has three components. There are three components to time awareness. First, retrospection. What would we call retrospection? What?
Memory.
Like, who's talking?
Memory
or the past. Retrospection is memory or the past. I remember what I did last Pesach, and I can't believe it's this Pesach, but I remember retrospection. Without memory, says the Rav, there is no time. We all have memories. Now, memories evoke certain feelings in us. They could be positive, happy memories. They could be difficult or sad memories. They make you feel a certain way. You remember retrospection. Second, anticipation of things yet unborn. Anticipation relates to, if retrospection is memory and the past, then anticipation is the future, anticipation of experiences yet unborn. Third, appreciation and evaluation of the present moment, which is one's most precious possession. quote, life is made up, only God is beyond time. Yod, then hey, then vav, then hey. He is higher past, hover future, and year. Higher past, hover present, and year future, all in the same time. We can't understand what that means. We exist in one moment of time. We exist in dimensions of time. Chodesh, chadash. Every moment of time is renewal. There is retrospection, past memory. There is anticipation, future events yet unborn. And there is the present moment, which is, quote, one's most precious possession. And truly, I speak to myself and the adults as well. How many times have we wasted, allowed to pass by in a not useful fashion? Mindless scrolling, reading, flipping one page to the next page to the next page. Not really paying attention to anything. Not on the screen and not the people in the room. It's a pachad. I'm not giving anyone here musar. I'm talking to Micharet. 1 minute, I just have to finish the email. 1 minute, I just have to finish the message. 1 minute, I just have to see what's on status. What's going to happen if I don't see at that exact moment what's on status? I'm not giving you musar. The introduction to Chodesh Nisan is HaChodesh Hazeh. Not just HaChodesh Hazeh Rishon Hu. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. Rosh Chodashim. Rishon Hu Lochem. Echad Sheyashana. And it's a kasha we all have to ask ourselves. If God felt that what represents freedom, freedom is represented by the sanctification of time, then what does that mitzvah mean to the Ribon Sha'olam, and what should it mean to all of us? When you get to my age and beyond, you start to wonder, where does the time go? Like, really, where does the time go? And we must live with each moment as our most precious possession, with an eye to the past and a hope for the future. I do want to talk a little bit about Korban Pesach, which comes right after in Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh is Alechem. So the sequence of the Pesukim is, Vayomer Shem Moshe Vel Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lemor, HaChodesh is Alechem. We've quoted Rashi, we quoted Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro, we quoted Rav Pam, the Chavetz Chaim, Time Bank, etc. HaChodesh is Alechem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishon Alechem, Lechad Sheyashana. What comes after you own time? All the other mitzvos. You understand why time had to be first? If you don't own time, the mitzvos are meaningless. Time-bound mitzvahs, the Jewish calendar is meaningless if we don't own time. Only if we own time does everything else have meaning. And that's why it represents geula more than anything else. God said you're going free when you sit down on Leil HaSeder to celebrate Yetziat Mitzrayim. We have to remember what came first. What came first is freedom of time. What comes right after, I'm still in Parshas Bo, which is the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Parshas HaChodesh that we just read on Shabbos. What comes next? Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of Israel, Lemor, saying, on the 10th of this month, listen carefully, Korban Pesach. Now today we don't have Korban Pesach anymore. It's a concept that is far removed from our lives. We don't understand, or we cannot really relate to Korbanos today. So we've said just Vayikra. It's an esoteric topic that is beyond our experiences in Golos. But that's how Pesach was celebrated. What did they need to do? V'yichu lahem ish, celebrate avot, celebayit. What did they need to take? A lamb for the household, a lamb for the father's house. So before you shechted, before you took the lamb, you had to say, okay, we're 6 people in the house, 8 people in the house, 10 people in the house. This lamb is for our house. Now, let's say you're not allowed to leave any of the Korban Pesach over. There's not allowed to be nosar. It's not allowed. That's the halacha. So let's say you have a household of 3 people. Can 3 people eat a whole lamb, a roasted lamb? Hopefully not. It would be a chilas gasa. How could you possibly eat a whole roasted lamb, 3 people? So what should he do? There's not allowed to be any left over. So what do you need to do? Go to your neighbor. If there's too few people in the house to eat the whole roasted lamb, V'lakachu, he should take ushcheino hakarav el beiso. What does he need to do? He knocks on the door of his neighbor. And what does he say? I have 3 people. You have 13 people. I think 16 people could eat a whole carbon pasach. You go to your neighbor. You make a partnership. We're going to be together on this lamb. B'michsa nefasha ishtufi achlo. Take account of how many people there are. Every man according to what he can eat. Tachosu alasa. Should be a pure lamb, a male within the first year. You should guard it, tie it to the bed until the 14th. Everyone slaughters it in the afternoon on the 14th. You put the blood on the 2 mezuzos and the mashkos. You eat the meat on that night, roasted with matzah and maror, you shall eat it. Let's talk about the structure of being counted on the Korban Pasach, which tells us about the structure of the Jewish community and the Jewish family. Rabbi Shmuel Golden, in his Unlocking the Torah Text series on Chumash, points out that there are 3 key elements in the Korban Pesach which teach us, remember, they didn't have community. A slave lives for himself and himself alone. Does he have what to share with his neighbor? No, he doesn't have enough for himself. Does he have a kihila? No, he's a slave. So everything about these psukim teach us about building a community. What's the first thing you have to know to build Am Yisrael? What was the first thing the psukim said about the Seh? Who remembers? What's the first thing it said about the Seh? The sheep, the lamb, the goat you have to take. What's the first thing? Celebate avot, celebayit. What is that pillar? A lamb for the father's house, a lamb for the father's household. What's this pillar? The Jewish home. Family. Celebase avo salabayas. It represents the Jewish home. I lost my place. It's okay, I'll just tell it to you outside. Rav Shmuel Golden says that the first pillar of building Am Yisrael, remember, we're building a nation. The experience of Geula Mitzrayim is building a nation. And every year when you sit down on Korban Pesach, when you sit down on Leil Seder with your families, you are continuing to build a nation. Father to son, son to grandson. What is the first pillar of Am Yisrael? Ish Celebate avot celebayit, or celebase avot celebayis. The first pillar of Am Yisrael is the Jewish home. Without the Jewish home, there is no nation. It ensures the continuity and the survival of our people, our Mesorah, the transmission from father to son. Ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar, v'higadeta lebincha bayamahu. The first pillar of Am Yisrael is the Jewish home. Every Jewish home is a mikdash ma'at, and we are commanded to take a lamb for the father's house, for the father's household. It's a pillar of family. Unity. Continuity. But, just like every Jewish home knows, you know, sometimes when we drive, let's say, we're driving to Toronto or upstate, and you know you go through these like small towns, and you see a house, and then there's not another house for like 3 miles. Okay, they have the farm, the barn, the pickup truck, some bales of hay, a wind. What are those things called?
Windmills.
What?
Windmills.
Windmill?
Maybe.
No, those small things that turn in the wind outside their house, and they have some cows, and they have a horse, and then you drive 3 more miles, and there's another house, and then you drive 2 more miles, and don't you? You know what? I'll say it. I verbalize. I'm like, how do they live here? Totally isolated. I don't know. Who do they talk to on Shabbos afternoon? Who do you schmooze with in shul? Who do you meet at the pizza shop? What pizza shop? There's no pizza. How do you get from place to place? What happens when it snows? What if you need to borrow eggs from your neighbor? I don't know, $4 a dozen, who's lending eggs? It's a joke. What if you need to borrow eggs from your neighbor? How do you live here? So they have a bias. But what's the problem? What don't they have? They have a bias, but what don't they have? What's the next stage of the Korban Pesach? V'im yimad habayim miyo misah v'lakachu ushcheino hakarav el beso. The Jewish home is the foundation of Am Yisrael. Grandfather, father, son. The first pillar you have to know when you're going free is you're going to build a Jewish house. Salabase, avos salabias. Base avos. Where father and son and grandfather and grandson will sit down together and they'll have a shmuz and they'll have a dvartor and they'll have a Shabbos meal and they'll have zmiros and they'll play backgammon and they'll tell the story of Sibri Yitzhiya Mitzrayim. You will build a Jewish home with freedom. But you can't live in upstate New York, Yehopetzville, one house here and 3 miles there and 4 miles there. Why not? Because a Jewish home depends not only on a Jewish home in isolation. It depends on community. What do? Can I borrow eggs? I'm baking a cake. You have a cup of sugar. You have extra tea lights. Can you host my guest who's here for Shabbos? V'lokachu ushcheino. Hakarov. So it doesn't just say your shachain. It says your shachain who's close to your house. The second pillar of building Jewish community is the pillar of community. It's not enough to put, it could be a very big house, and you know, then you could look up the price and you say, you know how much they pay out here for a house that's this big? Why don't we live here? You can't live there. That's why you don't live there. Where's the pizza shop? Where's the yeshiva? Where's the day school? Where's the shul? Where's the mikvah? Where's the Rav? Where's your neighbor? You can't live there. Why not? It's built into the fabric of Korban Pesach. Remember, Parshas Bo, Parshas Echodesh, it's the cusp of freedom. So the first thing you have to know is you own time. And all the elements we spoke about, Niskash and Moshe, Chodesh, Chadash. And now we're going to talk about, now that you own time, we're going to talk about what it means to build Am Yisrael. So the first thing you have to know when you build Am Yisrael is the father's household. The father's house. The Jewish home. It's a bastion of light. It's a fortress of strength in a world gone insane. The Jewish home. But it's not enough. Because the Jewish home cannot, does not exist in isolation. So yes, maybe they get an 8-bedroom home upstate with 5 acres of land for $250,000. What does that help me? I can't live there. Community. Friends. Neighbors. Kihila. But there's still one more element Rav Shmuel Golden points out. To building Am Yisrael, the father's household, the father's house, the neighbor who is close to your house, kihila, community. Ish lefi achlo tachosu alaseh. What aspect of building Am Yisrael is this? Every man according to what he could eat is counted on the lamb. Individual responsibility. Rav Shmuel Golden points out that people could come from strong families and strong kihilos. May be tempted to say, let someone else take care of it. Let someone else give tzedakah. Let someone else give kimcha de pischa. Let someone else set up the shuls, the chairs in the shul. Let someone else do the chesed in school. Let someone else volunteer. Let someone else give tzedakah. Let someone else attend the shiur. I don't have to do it. There's so many people who can do the job. People who come from strong homes and strong communities may have a Yetzer Hara that says, don't bother, stay in bed. Why should you be active? Sit at the table and play the Candy Crush. Who cares who's sitting next to you? That's not the Torah way. Ish lefi achlo tachosu alaseh. Make sure as an individual that you count. Am Yisrael is built by strong Jewish homes, Jewish families. Salabayit, salabait avot. Am Yisrael is built on the strength of our kihila, our shchuna, v'lakachu u'shcheino akara v'albiso. And finally, do not let a strong family and a strong kihila be a safety net for you to negate your responsibility as an individual. Am Yisrael is built by the strength of every individual Jew who was freed on this night, b'chol dor v'dor, chayiv Adam, laharod et atzmo, kilu hu yatzam im Mitzrayim. You were redeemed, so you have a responsibility to time, a responsibility to overcoming the challenges that will shape you and strengthen you in life, a responsibility to carry on the Masorah of a strong Jewish home, being part of a kehila, and making sure that you as an individual count. Ish lefi achlo, tachosu alaseh. Do not rely on the strength of others. Find your own talents, abilities, and capabilities. You all have them. Every single one of us in this room have different talents, abilities, and capabilities. Ish lefi achlo. Make sure your contribution counts. Tachosu alaseh. With these elements, Knesset Yisrael march to a glorious freedom, a hopeful future, with memories of the past, living in the present, and anticipation of the future. We truly say, Hashtahacha, this year we are here. However, L'shana haba ba'ara di Yisrael. Halavai, we should be zocha to see the ultimate redemption. We should be zocha to embrace our time, appreciate our time, live like free men in time. Well, we'll be zocha to be Ola L'Rego once again with the resumption of the Korban Pesach. I wish everybody a Chodesh Tov and Be'ezor Hashem a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you so much to everybody. Kol Tov.